Good morning and welcome to Revive Us Now. This is Todd Mozingo, lead pastor at Revive Church in Stuart, Florida. Let's get into the Word this morning. This morning we're continuing our study in the book of Jonah. I think we got all the way through chapter 3 and half of verse 1 yesterday. So I want to continue on in chapter 3. Yesterday we talked about the fact that the word of the Lord came to Jonah. And we talked about the different ways that God can speak with you. God can talk to you through your friends, through the Spirit, through Scripture, on your heart, through preachers, different ways. So let's look at the rest of verse 1 here. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah," and then some beautiful words, "the second time." Can I just say, praise God for the second time. It is a beautiful thing that when God comes to me and speaks and I'm not listening well, that God would come to me a second time. Now, let me ask you something. Are you on your second time right now? Has God had to come back and talk to you about something and you know you're on your second time? I have a friend of mine that used to always say that when God had to speak to him a second time, he would do it by thumping him on the back of the head. He said he would actually feel a thump on his head and he would know, I've heard this before, I better be listening this time. God is a God of second chances, a God of second times. Moses gets a second chance after murdering an Egyptian. David is still used after his affair with Bathsheba. Peter denies Christ and still becomes a major player in the early church. John Mark abandons Paul and Barnabas, but gets a second chance to travel with them. Israel is called a second time to go into the land that they're supposed to possess. God is a God of second times. So now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I am going to tell you." And I think this is really unique because one of the things that pops out at me here is that he's not giving him full direction, a less clear direction. He says, go tell them something that I'm going to tell you. If you remember back from chapter 1, verse 2, it says, there's a cry against it, for the wickedness has come before me. But he tells him to go, and look at this response in verse 3. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh. Jonah arose and went to Nineveh. Let me ask you something. If you ran from God, and God threw you out of a ship, put you in a whale for 3 days, and then came to you a second time with the same request, what would your response be? Jonah arose and went. He's not walking anywhere else today. He's not going to Tarshish. He's going to Nineveh. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days walk. This is kind of interesting because what that phrase, a 3 days walk, doesn't mean from where Jonah is, it was a 3 days walk. It meant to walk through the city it took 3 days to do. This is an incredible city. Let's go on to verse 4. Then Jonah began to go through the city 1 day's walk, and he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. So in this 3 day journey through the city, he's just 1 day in, and he's saying, you're going to be overthrown. Here's the unique thing about that. In that scripture, that word overthrown is actually hafak, hafak. And it means to turn about or to turn over, to overthrow. It's a double entendre word. He's saying you got to turn around in 40 days or you will be overthrown in 40 days. So what did God ask him to proclaim? That it was going to turn. Things were going to turn either about or over. In other words, there was going to be repentance or there was going to be destruction. And you'll notice it was 40 again. We see 40 all through the Bible. It's the time of probation in the Bible. It rained for 40 days. The temptation of Christ was 40 days. It was 40 years in the desert. They're given 40 days here. But watch their response in verse 5. Then the people of Nineveh believed in God, and they called a fast, and they put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Listen, when God speaks, God things happen. When the word of God drops on one person, it's called a conversion. But when the word of God drops on a city, it's called revival. I mean, I think we all want revival here in the Treasure Coast, and we got to ask for it. But in this place, there is a resurrection that brings about a mission. You see, Jonah's resurrection from the whale brings about Jonah's mission in the city. Jesus's resurrection from the grave brings about the mission of the kingdom. There can be a resurrection in your life that brings on a new mission. Let me break it down into simple terms. If you ever get yourself out of debt completely, here's what you do. You begin talking to everybody about it, and you never go back there again, and your spending ways and habits change. Your resurrection from debt creates a new mission, never to get there again. If you have cancer and it's gone, whether it's healed or medically removed, you're on a new mission. It's to stay healthy, to tell others what caused cancer, to let everybody know, to proclaim it. So you get resurrected from cancer, and your new mission is your battle against it. With Jesus, when you get resurrected from your dead life, the one separated from God, when he brings your spirit alive together with him in Christ, when you drop off the old life and you take on a new, when you die to the old self and take on the new self, now you're on mission for Christ. Matthew 28 says it this way, Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. The resurrection brings a go-forth mission to make disciples. Now, I want you to watch this picture of repentance, because I've told you before that this book is about sin and grace and the repentance of people. Jesus talked to the Pharisees about the fact that they weren't really willing to repent and open their lives up to him, that they just wanted everything swept and put in good order. But verse 6 shows the repentance of Nineveh. When the word reached the king, what word is that? That it's time for repentance in Nineveh. When the word reached the king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne, laid aside his robe from him, covered himself with sackcloth and ashes, and sat on the ashes. Watch this. The word that came, Romans 10, 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. He left his throne, Revelations 4, 9 through 11. And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever, and the 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and will cast their crowns before him, saying, worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of your will they existed and were created. The word of Christ left his throne, laid aside his robe, Isaiah 61:10. I will rejoice greatly in the Lord, my soul. I will exult in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation, and he has wrapped me with a robe of righteousness. Next, put on sackcloth and sat on ashes. Humility, a symbol of repentance, a recognition for the need of forgiveness. Daniel 3:7 says, so I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. What just happened here? A picture of repentance. The word, Jesus Christ, left his throne, gave a robe of righteousness, and took on humility in order to save the world. The king of Nineveh is telling us the story of Jesus Christ. When the word reached the king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne, laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat on the ashes. 7, he, the king, issued a proclamation, and it said, in Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, don't let man, beast, herd, or flock taste a thing, and do not let them eat or drink water. I would call this a very, very serious repentance and proclamation. I don't know if you just heard what he said, but the king said, it is time for repentance. We're going to become humble and we're going to fast. And by the way, so are the cows. So are the flocks. Don't even feed the animals. We are all in. We are all in on this. We are all going to fast. We talked last week about fasting, how it's stepping out of the physical realm and stepping into the spiritual realm so you can begin to dine on the bread of life. You can begin to consume the living water of Jesus Christ. It's stepping out of the physical into the spiritual so you can know and hear from God. And that's what's happening here. He's saying we are all going to fast. I just think it's kind of amazing that he even called the animals into a fast. You might want to talk to your dog about that next time you fast. See how well that goes over. Anyways, let's continue. Verse 3:8. But both man and beast must be covered with sackcloth, and let the men call on God earnestly, that each may turn from his wicked way and from the violence which is in his hand. Listen, the entire city of Nineveh calls on God. Verse 9. Who knows? God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger so that we will not perish. Listen, this is a recognition of where salvation comes from. If you remember back in 2 verse 9 in the kind of poetic prose that's written in chapter 2, it says, salvation comes from the Lord. It's not because of what they have done, but because they have shown a sincerity in wanting to repent. We go on to verse 10. When God saw their deeds and that they turned from their wicked way, then God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. So let me ask you something. What did God see? Because it said when he saw their deeds, I think what he saw was repentance. They had heard and received the word that they had gotten. The king had gotten off the throne of self, laid aside the garments of his own righteousness. They'd humbled themselves and they'd called out to God. These people recognized their sin and their repentance. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, for the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation. But the sorrow the world produces death. Let me stop for a moment and just address repentance for a moment. Oftentimes we look at repentance and we say, oh, repentance is feeling sorry, feeling bad for what you did. I want you to look at this scripture again in 2 Corinthians 7:10. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret. For the sorrow that comes from God produces a repentance. Do you see how it separates those two? There is a sorrow that comes, but repentance is a change of mind, a change of directions, a change in the way you think, and that leads to a salvation. But there's a sorrow that comes from the world that doesn't get you to repentance and therefore doesn't get you to salvation. It produces death. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation, but the sorrow of the world produces death. Wow, we can definitely feel bad about the way we've rejected God. We can definitely feel bad about our sin. But if it doesn't lead us to changing our mind, that leads us to salvation. In other words, believing that Jesus Christ came, paid the penalty for us, and gave us salvation, then we just continue in death. Let's turn, repent, and go to salvation from Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us for Revive Us Now. We'd love to have you come and check out Revive Church. Saturday nights at 6 p.m., Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. We're right next to the post office at 851 Johnson Street, or you can check us out at reviveusnow.com. Have a blessed day.
Attention homeowners, do you feel frustrated about not being able to sell your home? Are you worried because you're about to be transferred, or have you recently been laid off? Maybe you're facing foreclosure or behind in your monthly payments. It's not your fault. Start Fresh Home Buyers can help you. They will buy your home quickly and for a fair price, even if you have no equity and you owe more than it's worth. They're not realtors. They don't want to